Lucy Sweeza had expected the furor over her cousin Esme's engagement to an outlander to dispel interest in her own plans, but somehow the discussion at the dinner table spilled over onto her. She had a mouthful of corn soup when Papa Stefan opened with a volley of complaints about the quarterly accounts.
And that ridiculous expense for equipment we don't need to develop a foreign market we've done very well without for centuries. We're not that sort of people, is what I say. Lucy, you can't tell me this was all Esmea's idea.
Lucy swallowed quickly, burning her throat on the soup.
Oh, no, Papa Stefan. But we were talking about the future of her herd, and I had researched.
Researched? You don't know what research is. You are seduced by all those Outlander magazines you read. If my mother were still alive...
Well, she's not. Esme's the lamb bride, and she approves. The Outlanders need our stock's genetic input, and we need theirs.
You interrupted me!
You interrupted me first! And the genetic equipment was my idea, and is my responsibility. And I did check with the land bride, who approves the expenses which she thoroughly understood.
Not like a land bride at all. A land bride should conserve resources, not waste them on crackpot schemes.
Like the Barley River irrigation project?
That was Sonny, who could never resist a dig about Papa Stefan's one big mistake. As a young man, he'd been convinced that irrigation of dry coastal land with water from the barley would be practical and profitable. His mother, then only newly land bride, had allowed him enough money to unbalance the estancia budget for a decade.
It's not the same thing at all.
It's not. My idea is on schedule and on budget. And in fact, it is costing us less than a land bride approved because I got support from other breeders.
Which is another thing. You went outside the family to bring in outsiders.
Our allies for generations. After all, I am marrying Philip.
That had slipped out, not at the moment she'd planned.
Philip? Philip who?
Philip Vicarios.
Sonny's quick glance admonished Lucy. Papa Stefan stared a moment, then turned to look at Casimir and Berthold.
She's marrying a Vicarios?
Lucy had not really doubted what Esme told her, but now a chill sank through her as she saw in their faces additional confirmation.
She has Esme's approval, I understand.
And you, Cassie?
The family is our ally. Paul is my friend.
Does she know?
Children, you may be excused.
The younger cousins, eyes already wide, scrambled away from the table with only the briefest duck of the head to the elders. Lucy's younger brother gave her a look that meant she would be ambushed later and expected to tell all.
I know. Esmea told me. She said it didn't matter, that she held no grudge against the family, and if Philip was kind...
Kind? Marriage is not about kindness.
It is. Not that you would know.
Quiet!
Casimir rarely interrupted at these family fights, but this time he did, with all the power of command built over years of active service.
Too much is at stake here to rehash old battles or waste energy and patience yelling at each other. As the land bride's trustee, I know that she did in fact approve Lucy's desire to marry Philip Vicarios. She did, in fact, approve Lucy's expenditure of equipment to allow us to export gene stock, and her reasons were sound enough to convince me and the other trustees that this was a good idea. This is not, after all, the real issue. The real issue is the land bride wants to marry an outlander and continue to live off-planet, and the other landholders would like to use this as an excuse to reduce our influence in the guild. I see no chance of changing Esme's mind, for all the reasons we know about. So, I suggest we turn our attention to minimizing the damage to the Sweeza family and quit inflicting more on ourselves.
Lucy had not expected her Uncle Casimir to be so sensible. To her surprise, Papa Stefan went back to his meal, stabbing the sliced cantaloupe as if it were an enemy, but silent. Sonny sipped the rest of her soup in thoughtful silence. Berthold helped himself to a pile of potatoes in red sauce and began eating steadily. Casimir looked at Lucy.
Have you any more bombshells to drop, Lucy?
No, Uncle.
Did Esmea mention anything to you about passing on the land bride duties?
She did, in a way. But...
Casimir tented his hands and looked over them at her.
She spoke of you. Did you agree?
I told her it was too soon. I'm only...
The age that two land brides were invested in the old days. A year older, in fact, than Sylvia.
Lucy had never heard of Sylvia, though she had, like all the children, memorized 100 years of land bride Suiza.
It may be that having her designate you land bride-to-be would help. That, plus your marriage to a Vicarios, would prove that the Suizas were not involved in interstellar politics.
Hobart glared at Oscar Moraline, former head of the Moraline branch of his sept.
You were outmaneuvered by Venezia. That fuzz-brained sister of yours cost us market share and dropped profits 28%.
It's not my fault if you...
Oh, yes, it is. Your daughter, Otala, what is it with the women in your family anyway? Goes herring off to Patchcock and gets herself killed. That's what started it. A daughter you didn't control any better than Bunny controlled Brune.
Oscar had flushed an ugly color. Hobart enjoyed that, as he always enjoyed exercising power.
No, Oscar, I can't trust you to do it right, whatever it is. I cannot give you a ministry. In a few years, I expect the public climate will change, and then, perhaps, we can find something for you.
You expect my vote and you aren't giving me anything?
I expect your vote because you know where your advantage lies. Even if they had it to give, you would get nothing out of that clique Bunny ran. And they do not have it to give. Not anymore.
Oscar glared, but subsided, as Hobart had known he would. If Oscar could get it through his head what the problem really was, he might be useful.
Whoever controls the rejuvenation process controls everything. As long as the public doesn't rebel against rejuves, we must take steps against the ageist conspiracies. The short lives, if they realize the danger they're in, outnumber us at this point and could be dangerous.
But Venezia says...
Venezia is a fool. Yes, something had gone wrong there, something serious. A benignity spy, if I understand the little that's been declassified. But it's not as bad as all that. Women are so excitable, not to mention sentimental... And Venezia, in particular.
All she ever did was play with pottery.
Quite so. How could she know anything about the real world? She could not be expected to realize how many lives would be disrupted, prematurely ended with a shortage of rejuvenation drugs, because of her finicky insistence on exact procedures.
But Hobart, how do we get it back? How do we get her out of there?
By doing precisely what I tell you. I need your support at all the Grand Council sessions. I will let you know what I need you to say and how to vote. With more sympathetic, more cooperative ministers, we should be able to ease dear Venezia back into her supportive role.
She won't like it.
I don't care whether she does or not. I am not going to let one woman stand in the way of progress for the Consuline Sept.
Hobart looked forward to that moment, probably more than Oscar did. Venezia had been a constant nuisance at Sept board meetings, poking her nose into all sorts of inconvenient corners. She seemed to think she had a moral mission to clean up the whole Sept.
If Kimtre had not been a weak man, none of these disasters would have happened. He drugged his son into stupidity and then created those damned clones.
I don't see that cloning is such a bad thing.
No, nor do I, except that we have a rapidly growing population anyway. We don't need clones. We need sensible, strong men who know how to handle the hysterics. No offense.
Hobart eyed Oscar, but Oscar didn't mind if Hobart called his sister hysterical.
Now, Oscar... I want you to have a word with the Broderick Institute and tell them to do their homework a little better.
The Broderick Institute? What have they done?
Oscar, the Broderick Institute is where Dr. Margulis works.
Oscar still looked blank.
The same Dr. Margulis whose report on the so-called bad drugs coming out of Patchcock started a near panic in the market.
Oh, that, Dr. Margulis. But I thought...
Please come up with more. The man is a closet ageist, I'm sure, just looking for any excuse to scare people away from rejuvenation. Broderick has given him free rein for the past 15 years, and look what that so-called independent research has led to. It's cost you and me and the whole familius. He needs to be controlled. At the very least, someone needs to do impartial research showing how beneficial rejuve is. And since the Consuline Sept provides over 2/3 of the money to support the Broderick Institute, they need to be reminded of the importance of truly even-handed science.
They won't complain about academic freedom?
They're not a university. They're a privately funded research facility. If you're tactful, they'll get the point without blowing up. That's your job.
Oscar left, finally.
Idiots.
Hobart was surrounded by idiots and incompetents, and they all wanted something from him. He glanced at his desk and had his secretary send in Pater Origiemos. Another idiot. Minor family, major nuisance, but also a born bootlicker, and those could be useful. Pater came in looking smug about something. Hobart had no time for Pater's self-congratulation. Besides, he would be even smugger with more reason very shortly.
We have a problem coming up.
Pater's expression shifted quickly from smugness to concern.
As you know, I was elected temporary speaker at the emergency council meeting immediately after Lord Thornbuckle's assassination.
Pater nodded.
The next meeting will be crucial. If we are not to lapse back into the ineffective vacillation of the previous administration, if we're to meet the challenges that threaten us, we need to take action quickly. Will you help me?
Of course. What can I do?
In the long run, you can be my Minister of Foreign Affairs.
Hobart paused and enjoyed the sight of Pater completely silenced for once. He had not expected that high an honor. He would be the more willing to earn it.
But not immediately. First, there are changes in the bylaws which need to be approved. I'll give you the texts. I want your analysis of the probable response.
Of course, right away.
I'm calling the next meeting almost immediately. It would be unethical not to have a general meeting as quickly as possible.
Pater nodded like a child's toy. Hobart wondered if he even grasped the importance of that, if he realized how critical the timing was, how this haste would work to Consuline advantage. For an instant, Hobart thought of explaining it to him, sharing some of his data on family movements, his basis for knowing who could attend and thus how the votes would go. No. No. Better not even let Pater know how much he knew.
After that meeting, I'll be making some ministerial changes. Foreign affairs will be high on that list, but I can't give you an exact date. What you must understand is where the real threat is. It's not war, no matter what anyone says. We're large, strong, healthy, with a vigorous military. Well, mostly vigorous. Anton Lupescu was more than a little crazy, but that doesn't mean all his ideas were bad. He had the right idea about the military and war, for instance. If he'd been assigned to the rescue mission, do you suppose we'd have had any problem with leftover terrorists?
Pater shook his head. Hobart allowed himself a smile.
Of course not. He'd have made sure there weren't any. None of this idiocy of bringing back hundreds of women and children. Born troublemakers, every one of them. And to whom do we owe that diplomatic and political problem? Bunny Thornbuckle's friends, the Serranos, who, as we all know, have no direct loyalty to any of the chair-holding families.
But Hobart, none of the Fleet families do now.
Not directly, not now, but they did in the past. That's my point. I've read history. I know what's supposed to have happened. But how do we know that the Serranos weren't involved in the massacre of their patron family? What proof do we have?
Pater looked surprised, then thoughtful.
I hadn't ever considered that, but they're powerful.
Yes, thoroughly entrenched. And I'm sure there are decent, loyal soldiers among them, but overall, their influence is questionable. We need a fleet we can count on to crush any opponent, protect our shipping, protect the new worlds we need to open for our colonists.
After Pater left, Hobart stared out the window, musing. The minor families, Derringer, Hocklet, Tassi Leoti, all that crowd, were yammering now for leadership and would probably follow anyone strong enough. Harless Thornbuckle, Bunny's own brother, wanted control of Bunny's estate bad enough to deal, though he probably wasn't trustworthy in the long run. If Kevil Mahoney had been capable, he might have talked some of the waverers into the other camp, but he was still in the medical center, and the opposition was no more than a confusion of Barracluffs, more intent on fighting over leadership within their sept than on threats from without. Since Mahoney wasn't on his side, just as well not to have him active at all. In the future, he expected to talk Mahoney over. The man needed a power base. It was purely an accident that he had been Bunny's friend. He could just as easily be Hobart's friend. With any luck, no one from Bunny's family would attend this Grand Council meeting anyway. They would expect this one to be unimportant, with a weak speaker elected to finish out Bunny's term. This was his window of opportunity. He could take hold of the weak, flaccid, rudderless ship of state, catch the winds of time, and take them all to a better future than anyone else saw. Hobart silenced his scheduler, toying with the idea of skipping his exercises for once, but habit had already brought him to his feet. Iagin, the swordmaster who supervised his own fencing coach, was there for his twice annual analysis of Hobart's progress.
The Serrano Legacy, Change of Command, is continued on the next CD.